Okay, today is Daf Tev Zayin on Chulin. We're in Daf Tev Zayin on Chulin. We know Timra, which is about 6-7 lines to the bottom. Okay, so before we brought that, Rebbe mentioned that there's a difference regarding a knife. Regarding a shechita utensil. I shouldn't say a knife. A shechita utensil. The difference whether the item was mechuber meikaro, meaning it's completely attached to the ground, it hasn't been detached, or it was talush ubasov fibro. It was detached and then it was reattached. So in the first case where it's continuously attached, it's in its natural attachment, that utensil, that implement is possible from shmita. But if it's talush ubasov fibro, Rebbe agrees that b'di'evet, if you shecht it with that, it would be kosher. And we're not telling me to shani lei bein mechuber meikaro talush. Where you see that there's a distinction, if you check with something that is mechuber meikaro, that is still in its original attachment, as opposed to something that was detached and then reattached. The Tanya, the following brisa, hashofik limuchni, checking with a wheel. Basically, what it is that you have a knife attached to a wheel, and the wheel turns. As the wheel turns, you put the knife, the animal in this spot, and it goes and it shefts the animal. So what's going on over here? He says shnitasu ksheira, that shechita is kosher. Now the Braisa continues, v'mechubar lekarka shechitasu ksheira. If you shecht with something that is mechubar to the karka, it's kosher. Then the Braisa says, not sucking makosel, you stuck a knife into the wall, v'shachet ba, and you shechted that, then shechitasu is also ksheira. Let's say you had a sore yotzim in a kosel, let's you had some sort of jagged rock that was protruding from a wall, okane ole me'elov, or a reed that is growing from its spot, it's an original spot, v'shachat bo, and you shechted that, it is pasul. The shechita is no good. So the Gemara says right away, kashin adadi. That's a stira in between the parts of the brisa. Because the ratio of the brisa says, what does it say? It said, and then it brings examples in the end of yotzim in a kotel okana ona me'elav and the shechita sula. So what's the difference? So Gemara says elav shmami. Now you see from here shiny we make a chiluk bein mechuba meikaro. If something's mechuba meikaro, that would be the case of the kana me'elav or the rock that's protruding from the wall. It's not that you stuck a rock in; it's a natural growth. And you're not talking about a wall of a house. Rashi says, obviously talking about the wall of a cave. The wall of a house is already chopped, it was taken down and then reattached. He's talking about some sort of jagged rock protruding from a cave wall. That is pasul. That's talking about a case that is mechuber meikaro, and that we say is pasul. But talus was so chibro. But if it was first detached, then reattached, then the shechita is kshera. And that's talking about the other case. That would be a case of not sucking makotel, or that would actually be the case of mechuba lekarka. When we say mechuba lekarka is kosher, it's talking about a case where it was detached and then reattached. Shema mino, we see from here that there's a difference to the distinction between whether or not it was mechuba, whether or not we're talking about dover mechuba lekarka, or something that was talush with the stuff mechuba. So Amar Mar, said in the Braisa, Hashochet b'muchni, if you shecht in this stone wheel, right, that the knife is in there, and then you put the neck of the animal right by the knife, and you turn the wheel, then it's the shechita kshera. So the Gemara says, how can that be? V'hasanya, we have a brisa that says shechita psula. So which one is it? Is it kasher or is it pasul? So the Gemara says, lo kasha, you bring two answers as why one brisa says it's kasher, one brisa says it's pasul. First answer is ha b'sarna de takra, ha b'sarna de maya. The case where we say that the wheel is kosher is a sarna de pakra. That's a potter's wheel. Rashi says sarna de pakra shritaso kasher she'odam megalgalav. Because that is turned with the koach ha'odam. The potter's wheel is either turned by the person's hand or by the person's foot. That's what turns the potter's wheel around. So that the power is generated by the person, as opposed to sarna de maya. Sarna de maya is a wheel, sort of like a millstone that's powered by the hydraulics. That's pretty much what it is. And it's done with the house will be possible no matter what, because the saw's blades are jagged. So that would be out to begin with, unless you have a power saw with a smooth blade. But then it really would be a power saw.
You have
for what?
But it's possible because it's going to be hydraulic.
Well, we'll see. That's according to this Mandamer, it's possible because it's Sarah de Maya. No, maybe you turned it on. That may be koach. We'll see in a second. So, but, so the sound of the maya is possible because it doesn't have koach gabra. Rashi says, shchitas obsula, why? Shehamayim agagnin also, the water turns it. The ain shchita zomi koach adam. And that shchita is not done through the power of the man. It's done to come on, and we'll see later on, that nafla, right, if the, I guess if the knife fell, v'shachta shchitas obsula, it's possible, v'zabachta v'chalta, mashu chasu v'yachata ochel. You have to do that, your own power. So that's one distinction. Remember, the Brisa said that a wheel is possible, one Brisa the wheel is kosher. Another distinction, another possible way of answering the Brisa. The Ebi's aim, and this is a very, very important distinction over here, which comes into play when it comes to electricity and shams and yantin, it comes to play with the machine-made matzah, all these things that require koach ha'adam. Ebi's aim, ha'vaha b'sar demaya. Both Brisas are talking about the water wheel. Below kasha, and there's no kasha if the one says it's kasha, one says it's possible, because the one that says it's kasha is talking about the case is going to read the koach rishon, the first power. The one that says it's possible is the koach sheni, talking about second power. Depends on which power it is. They have to define what koach rishon is and what koach sheni is. So Margus gives an example. Viha the Amar Papa, similar to what Rapapa said, ha man de kati lechabre. You have a person A ties up person B. Sits him down, then he opens up the reservoir, he pulls away the wall blocking the dam, and he drowns the person that he tied up. So he's chayav. Why? That's giri today. It's as if he shot an arrow. But by removing the water, removing the blockage, he's shooting the water. The water is like his arrow. That's the same thing. But hani means the koach rishon. That's only if it's the koach rishon. Aval the koach sheni, if he does it, the water comes with koach sheni, that's grama b'yama. And grama b'yama would be putter. Of course, he'd be chayav b'dei shemayim, but he would be putter. So, what is the definition between koach rishon and koach sheni? So, you look at Rashi. Rashi says, koach rishon, shekashru somoch l'svas hamayim. He tied him very close to the water. The kevan shenokav nekev esvasamayim miyad boa mayim upiv. It's instantaneous. It's automatic. It happened right away. That's automatic. That's koach rishon. Aval the koach sheni shekashu birochok. Rashi says the difference is distance. The distinction is distance. Shekashu birochok v'hamayim halchul sham afal pishu nokav nekev the hipnul sham putz grav amahu. It all depends on this. Name to redefine what's considered karo, what's considered distance. But Rashi says the distinction is distance. The Rashi, that's one definition of Rashi. I think there's a second definition of Rashi. If you go further up, when he describes koach rishon the first time, and he's talking about the wheel, he says with koach rishon, he says miyad kishen nukel hadaf hamaakev esamayin behiskel legagel ubetchilas gilgul shofar mikoach adushat zodaf. It's like the first time it went around. When you take out the water, when you took out the water, and then it turns the wheel, that initial turn it was koach adam. But what's koach sheni? La'achar shegilgul hamayim esegagal pam rishon u'shniyah. After one or two turns, then it's no longer your koach. So now that's Rashi gives a different distinction. That's not the distance from the source. It just had the nearness and time to when you remove the item. So I guess that's the same thing also.
The same thing,
I don't know, but it seems to be two different definitions. I saw that there's also. No, but according to the second definition of Rashi, second definition is distance. Let's say the distance we define is 100 feet. So it's 100 feet away, but it's the initial. But it's the, no, it's 100 feet away, but it's the initial turning. What's the initial turning?
Well, if you started it up, okay, it immediately hits the person. That's the same thing as you started the.
No, Rashi says. Rashi says the first definition that we just read. Rashi says the first one or two times it turns around. But what if it turns around one or two times? It's 2,000 feet away. That's different between the first and the second answer and the explanation. I saw that the sugya is brought down in Sanhedrin also. So of course, we're talking about, and there the Yad Ramah says that the distinction is whether or not it's the water that's touching the wall that you remove. So that's the initial water. But they have not communes lahalacha. What about shmur matzah? There's a machine made matzah. You press the button and it turns. Is that koach adam? That's one of the problems. What about electricity? Right? Is electricity, is that automatic that you do it? You flip the switch. See, an arrow goes on all right away. On a molecular level, it takes, you close the circuit, and it takes the lights. There's a whole to do about whether it's koach rishon, koach sheni. All the all the posting from the turn of the century, previous century, they all talk about Zachias with the Hatzvi, they all talk about electricity, and with Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni. That's a big sugya over here about Koach Rishon, Koach Sheni. Okay. Next. Yosef Rav Oreja Rabbi Chiya. It's a very nice Masora article about Masora right here in this line. Rav is sitting behind Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya came to Rebbe. And Rabbi Chiya is sitting by Rebbe. So you have the order, right? Rebbe was the last of the Tanoim. Rabbi Chiya is the straddle between the Tanoim and the Amorayim. And Rav is the first generation Amora. So you have, you know, the Masora, Shashelis, and Masora is sitting down. The Yosef Rebbe Mika Amar. And Rebbe sits and he says, Minayin shish l'shchita shivit v'tolosh. We just been discussing that has to do with a detached item, right? How do you know that? From where do you know that shchita has to be with a detached item? Minayin shish l'shchita shivit v'tolosh. Shenemar, the pasuk says, by Avram Avinu, when he went to Chef Yitzhak, it says, by Yikach es ha-machelas l'shchot. He took the machelas, he took the item, the shchita utensil, to Chef. So Amalei Rav l'Rabbi Chiyah. So Rav says to Rabbi Chiyah, wait a second, Micah Amar, two ways to learn that. He's saying, but we're going to learn this way. What is he saying? What do you mean? That's the reason, that's how you learn. Amar Lei, so Rabbi Chiyah says back to him, Vav diksiv a'ufta d'kamar. So that's an idiom, he's saying that. It's as if he's trying to write a straight line on a piece of paper that's sitting on rock, so to speak. It's sitting on an unsmooth surface. Try to write a split. Doesn't work. You're never going to get a straight line. Meaning, it's a bad limud. Mar says, what do you mean it's a bad limud? But Hakarka, Hakrak Amar, he brought a pasuk. So he says, so the answer is Kra Zirusei the Avram Kamash Malan. The pasuk's not teaching me anything that he has to take a separate utensil. Basically, Avram is going to do a mitzvah. He doesn't want to rely on the fact that maybe he'll find something on the mountain that he can use to shed. So he takes it with him, so he has it just in case. That is limud, a halakha limud. I mean, who's right? It's number one before Matan Torah. Number two, who says that's what he did? That's just the story. That's what happened. Rashi says the first wide line, first medium line. Kras Yerusha the Avram Kamashlan Shechashash VeNizar. He was worried. Shemalo Yimset Sur. He's not going to find a rock up there, a sharp knife. But Pilu Mechuber Rehavi Imo Machelas. Even if it's Mechuber, he would be able to use it. Had he found it, but you don't want to rely on that. So he took a knife with him. Tosus asks, how are you learning from this pasuk that you have to use a knife? This is the pasuk that we learn, right? Tosa says, in Tomer, b'hai kar b'kachim siv. We're talking about Yitzchak, who's an Ola. We're talking about kachim. We're not talking about chulin here. We're asking our question, how do you know from chulin you need a knife? You bring a pasuk from Yitzchak, who's an Ola Tzvima. I mean, first of all, you bring a pasuk from before Makatol, which is an issue. Nevertheless, it's kachim, right? In Tomer, b'hai kar b'kachim siv. The parakatodim, so tamchatas, not kula mehalka. What do we learn from here? The kachim to unin kli. Then you need a tree when it comes to kachim that we learned. It has to be a utensil. It can't be something that's not a utensil. But Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam says no. The le'inyan tolosh garmina nami achulin. I can learn two things from here. I can learn step one that when it comes to chulin, it has to be detached, and I can learn also that from kachim it has to be a tree. It has to be a utensil. It can't be like a rock or something like that, right? He says if Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the le'inyan tolosh garmina nami achulin, midiksib l'shchot et bino. It's just to shech his son. And not to chef the burnt offering. So by using son and not ola, that we can use chulin. That implies chulin in there as well. About kli, but you can't go all the way and learn that by a shchita of chulin you need a kli. About kli, lo shayach lemeil b'chulin, ela b'kachim, only by kachim you can go learn, you can extend it to a kli. Kishar avodas above kisharis. And kachim, all other avodas we know require kisharis. So by making the limud over here, I can make the limud all the way to with kli by kachim. Right, midiksiv by yikach, by shin. Some say also it says that, or he says, umidiksiv by yikach, that he took. Beloksiv by yichin, nothing that he prepared, darshinun talosh b'chulin. The fact that he took something. I mean, he took something as opposed to he prepared something, so he took something that was talosh, right, umidiksiv me'achalta. And the other part says, v'yikach v'yado. He took it with him. He took everything with him. He took everything with him. And he went. But again, the answer that they say is that maybe that's Zerusei the Avram. So I don't think, according to that, if we say Zerusei the Avram at the end, then where's the source? We don't have a source afterwards. Find an answer. Okay. Amar Rava. Now we're going to talk back about Talush of Basol Chibro. Going back to that. Something that was Bashrita. Something that was attached, and then it was detached. Talush of Basol Chibro. The Indian Avodah Zarah. When it comes to the Isra Avodah Zarah, it's pashut to me that is Havei Talosh. It's considered something that is detached. Why? The halacha is, we learned in Avodah Zarah, we spent a lot of time on it, that it says if you can only asher the items on the mountains, not the mountains themselves, right? Rashi says, "Le'inyan avos hakavim, the kaimalon ha'obed as haharim, someone who worships the mountains, einon nesarim haharim b'kach." The mountains don't become, otherwise there'll be certain places in the world where we put get enough from, because they worship, you know. But only the b'kach, t'ksiv es Eloheim al haharim, their gods, lowercase g, on the mountains, below haharim Eloheim, and not the mountains themselves that are gods. But hani mili hard mechubur meikaro. That's talking about an attached, something that's attached mechubur lekarka. About Tolus with a soft fibro, but something that was detached and now reattached to the ground, about Tolus with a soft fibro, umishechibro abdu, and now you worship it. It's been worshipped when it's reattached. Nesar mishim lo yidum yacha. It becomes asar. How do I know that? The Amr Mar, Amishtachavela Bayeshulo Asoro. Let's say I bow down and I worship my house. My house is items that were detached, and now they're reattached to the ground. It's reattached to the ground. It says that it's usher, and only if I bow down to my house. Not if I bow down to your house, in the Osir Zabba Shein Shalom, unless there's an actual physical change. We discussed that a few times, it's closer to the Vomit, so here's that distinction. Right? So Eloheim Eloharim, Eloharim Eloheim. So you see that clearly, if it was attached, considered attached by a Avodah Zarah, then my house wouldn't be usher when I bow down to it. But since I do, that means Mechubar is considered detached when it comes to Avodah Zarah. But when it comes to Hechsher Zroyim, the Indian Hechsher Zroyim, Tanahi, that's a Machlokas Tanahi. Just a little background, we've done this a few times. In order for foodstuffs to become royal in the Kabbalah Tumma, they have to become wet. The only things that become wet, the only reason, and they have to become wet if you desire the water. You desire the water for one reason or another. And it only can work if you're talking about foodstuff and water, and that's detached. I'm talking about a lake, I'm not talking about things that are attached to the ground, because under the rain, everything will become mochub in the Kabbalah Tumma. So, we're talking about, you see, the following case as to whether or not something that was mechubar, the talos of so mechubar, whether that's considered attached or detached, without a hechsher zroyim. Ditznan, right? We have the following Mishnah in Maseches Makshirin. Hakofei ka'ara ala kotel b'shil shetuda. You turn a bowl onto a wall because you want the wall to get wet. You want the wall to get, or you want the item to get wet. You put the kli up there. So now, and after that, the water then proceeds to fall onto peros. So are those peros now kosher l'kabel tumah, right? So hakofet ka'ara al kotel b'shvil shatuda hareze b'chiyutan. That counts as b'chiyutan. B'chiyutan means that kosher l'kabel tumah, because you wanted the water. Because you wanted the water to dampen or to moisten the bowl that's on top of the wall. But if you turn the kara over b'shvil shelo yilke hakotel, let's say you put, like, it's almost like put a tarp on top of the wall to protect the wall. So in this instance, you don't want the water. You want to make sure the water doesn't do anything. Ain't no b'chiyutan. And then afterwards, that water then falls onto its peros. That is not b'chiyutan, because you had no desire for the water to be there. So the Gemara, so there's always the case, always have the ambiguous middle. What about the middle case? They say that the Brice of the Steer Neovei, Hagufakasha. The Brice, the Mishnah itself is Sosar itself in the Sefer of the Sefer. Amarta, in the beginning, you said, Bishvil shetudach harezeh b'chiyutan. If you want the water to moisten the bowl, then it's b'chiyutan. Ha, bishvil sheyudach hakotel. But if you put the bowl near the water in order that the water will go onto the wall itself, ain't b'chiyutan. Because, why? Because the wall is b'chubah l'karka. So you see here, that's talking about man-made wall. It would be considered mechubar. But Hadartan then says, "Bishvil shlo yika kotel el b'chiyutan." Oh, when is it not b'chiyutan? If you're protecting the wall. How the inference is, "Bishvil shlo yudach kotel." If the wall would get wet, you want the wall to get wet. Hareze b'chiyutan. It would be b'chiyutan because you wanted it for davar talush, which is the wall. So from here, it's mashma that the wall is talush. So which one is it? Is it mechubar or is it talush? Seems to be a steer in the Braisa, based on the inferences in the ratio of the Sefer. That's heard that Rabbi Dovman, or he says, it calls it the ambiguous middle. Yeah, always, the Gemara always gives case A and C, you know, to figure out what B is. So, Amar Rav Elazar says, Tavra, break the mission up. It can't be Misha Shemazol, Lo Shemazol. It's two different authors. But they're two different inferences. It can't be. So Gemara then says, no. So you see, it's a Machlokes Tanaim. Rav Papa says, no. Kula Cha Tanahu. It's all one Tana. which is, you know, different types of walls. We have natural walls, and we have walls that are made by builders, right? Ha, in the Reisha, where we made the diyuk that what? That only if you turn the bowl on it in order for it to get wet, does the water now be mafshir the peros. But if you turned it on in order for the, if you put it there in order for the wall to get wet, that's not mafshir, which is mafshir that the wall is mechubar, that's the kotel me'ara. That's talking about a wall in a natural wall. That's talking about a wall in a cave or a wall that juts out. That's what that's talking about. That's considered mechubar. But the safer we made the deal of that, if it falls on the, if you want the water to get the wall wet, then it is hukshul lekabel tumah if it falls onto the peros. That's because of binyan. That's built by the binyan, right? Advertising binyan. That's built by the binyan because that is kavush ubisof mechubar. That you're going to say is a in that case, in that type of wall, you say it is considered kalush, and therefore it is susceptible. If you want the water to fall in there, that means you desire the water. Therefore, if the water hits the pelos, it is hokshar lekabel tuma. V'hachika amar, and this is how you read the Mishnah. Hakofe ka'ara ala kosel b'shvilsa tudach. If you put the bowl on the wall in order for the bowl to get wet, hareze b'chiyutan. That is chiyutan. So if it hits the bowl, then it hits the water, then it hits the pelos. Then hokshar lekabel tuma. If you want the wall to get wet, ain't it a chiyuton? It's not a chiyuton. Ah, the medvan memurim. When do we say it's not a chiyuton if it hits the wall? That's because of mara. That's only if it's a natural wall. Aba because of binyan. If it's a built wall, then you follow the distinction. If you're doing it only to protect the wall, meaning I don't want the water to be there, then it's not a chiyuton because you didn't have the proper intent for the water to come, and therefore it's not going to be good water to make the table susceptible to kabel tumah. But if you put it there, b'shvil shiyudach hakosel, then if you want it for the wall to become wet, then it is b'chiyutah, because we're dealing about a case that the wall was talos b'shuk mechubar. So talos b'shuk mechubar in this case is considered talos by the avodah zarah. Talos b'shuk mechubar is considered talos as well, right? Because otherwise it wouldn't be us here. So Salvechik has a whole piece in Hashiri Arav, so he asks us, seems to be a steer in the Rambam, right? Because the Rambam says, right, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, first of all, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yordain, Simon Bob, Sefes, he says, HaShokhet B'davar HaMachubah L'Karka, if you shech with something that's Machubah L'Karka, Oluguk, with something that's attached to your body, you go and see Poron like a nail, B'shein, or a tooth, HaMachubah B'behemash, Pasa P'shula, that's Pasal. But something with a talush min a karka ul v'sob chibru lo yishchok. It's only v'di'evet. V'im shachot shikvatus kasheira v'afil im bitlo. Even if you're about to the place, he says v'di'evet is kasher talush v'sob mechubar. Right. So he says talush v'sob mechubar is considered talush v'nikabe shchita, and that's from the Rambam, because the Rambam says in Hilchos Shchita Perak Aleph Halach Yates. That's what the Rambam says. The Rosh and Perak Aleph Sinim Chavez, he says that talush v'sob mechubar, that is dinoki mechubar, and therefore it would be puzzle. Fine. But he quotes from the Rambam, how does the Rambam say that Talosh Luvaso Chibro, the Dinos could Talosh? We see everywhere else in the Torah, everywhere else in Halacha, that we say, Amachubla Karka, Arei Kikarka. How do you buy a house? You buy a house, Dine Karko, you don't do Mashiach HaMashiach, it's impossible. Right, but if you detach a house, all the items in the house were detached, and now they're reattached to the ground. That's Talosh Luvaso Chibro. So when it came to avodah zarah, we said that's considered talus. That's why it's an aser. When it comes to kinyanim, it's considered karka. Karka. And also says also by hilchos meila, the Rambam passes in hilchos meila that there's no meila except for something that's talus from the karka. So therefore, if you makish your house and then you live in it, there's no meila. So therefore, you see that when it comes to talus ubesof chibro lagavim meila, says it's considered mechubar. So what's the difference? Why are you sleeping with him in Eila? So the Rav brought down the name of his father, of Moshe, that he had to make a distinction between two different types of karka. Yeshu chalik bin dinam hatfulyim b'shem karka b'shem metaltalim v'dinam hatfulyim b'shem mechubah b'shem talush. Some things makes a difference when we're talking about the halacha requires it to be karka or metaltalim, or when something has to be mechubah or talush. So the gabe, the house, dino to karka. So it's dino kakarka. So when it comes to kinyanim, it's kakarka. When it comes to me'ilah, the halacha is dependent on whether it's kakarka or metalsalim. It's considered kakarka. When it comes to Talish or Mechubar, that's a different type of halakha. So Shechita is dependent on Talish or Mechubar. So if there's something that's Talish and so forth Mechubar, we can consider that Talish. Because it's not talking about whether it has a din karka to whether it's considered attached or detached. It's two different criteria. Right? So he says, right? Jish the Khalif and Dina Matfuy. What? Right. Well, that's you have to just define it. Right, Yesh Chal Ben Dinah Matfuyim B'Shem Karka B'Shem Metalpelim V'Dinah Matfuyim B'Shem Mechubar B'Shem Tolosh. The Tolosh will be so chibro. If you detach something, then you reattach it. Dinah for Karka. It's considered Karka, but it's not considered Mechubar. That's how he explains it. Okay, Boy Rava. Rava asked the Karsha. Tolosh will be so chibro in your Shvita Mai. So what's the story with Shvita? We saw the Pesach, and Tosfos asked what's going on here. Why are we asking the case by Tolosh or chibro? Didn't we just say it's a machlokas between Rabbi Chiya, who says it's kosher, and Rebbe said B'dieved it's kosher, and Rabbi Chiya, who says it's kosher with Achila. But now we're going to ask the kosher, which way is it? So the Rosh passes that Tosfos Mechubar is kosher, because he says we're going to have this Shachar Tari tomorrow. If it's viable, if it's tough, it's a Mechubar. The others will say, wait a second, we just discussed it over there, so we can just lose that which, I guess, which sugya prevails, so to speak. Tosfos of Chibra L'Inu Shkita Mai. So Toshma, bring you the following proof. Hayatsur Yotsumina Kosa. You have this rock, smooth, sharp rock that is protruding from the wall. Hosha Hayakana Ola Me'ila. Or you have a sharp reed that's growing from the ground. Vishachat Bo. And you shechted it. Shritaso Psula. So you see from here it's Pasul. We must be talking, right? So the Gemara right now is talking about, thinks that we're talking about a man made wall. That's going to be the Havamina. So Hakab Mayaskina. So the Gemara says, no. So you see from here if it's a man made wall, that's Polish for so Kibro, it would be possible, because you're talking about, I guess, a sore in the wall that you planted, so chibro, as possible. So I said, no, hak my schema, big kosher merara. Talking about a natural wall, a natural protrusion. So therefore, it's not so chibro, still considered talosh. And I'll prove to you that the Mishnah is talking about talosh, because it compares the wall to the kaneh, and the kaneh is clearly growing. So that's a natural attachment. So for the wall, is a natural attachment. But daikanami, the katani dumi the kaneh ha'ola me'elov. So Shema Minah, this Brisa is talking about a natural attachment. It's not talking about Talos so Fibro, can't prove anything from here. So the Gemara is going to bring another ayah. Tashma, not sucking the coat of the Shachatva. Okay, I took a knife and I jabbed it into the wall. And now I leave the knife there, and I guess I bring the animal to the knife, and I kind of chef the knife and chef the animal that way. So not sucking the coat of the Shachatva, Shchitaso Pshera. The Shchita is kosher. So therefore you see that Talos, you have a knife that was polished, it was so chibro, and then you attach it to the wall, that is a kosher shrita. So Gemara says, no, shani sakin delo mevatale. A knife is different, because even if you attach it to it, you never mevatale the knife to the wall. It's too valuable. So it's like I'm just storing it there. I'm not making it attached, so therefore it's considered polished. Not because it's not mechubar. It's not a piece of polish or so chibro, it's completely polished. It's never been attached. Was it Mavatel, if you saw in Shulchan Aruch, or was it Mavatel into the wall? So that's no proof there either.
Okay, so you have a guillotine attached to the ground.
So you have a guillotine. The guillotine attached to the guillotine is your joint, right?
Right, but it's
how is the guillotine attached to the ground?
You bolt it into the ground, there's no proof. You base the body.
Right.
You have
a shrita.
You need
a shrita.
So
if
you
look at
that,
it's
attached to the ground.
But the blade, maybe you can say, look at the blade.
It come off. It doesn't try to track. It doesn't mean it comes off.
It could come off. And you're not, you say the same thing with the knife. You're not in the bottle.
Yes, you can take the knife off the wall too.
Right, you take the knife off the wall. That's where you say the shrita is kshera. So maybe that's
not, but you're not taking the knife off the wall.
Right, but you, in your mind, I didn't attach it because I could take it off because it's valuable.
Right.
I can move this guillotine to another place because I got to kill other infidels somewhere else I got to kill.
Exactly.
So then, it would be kosher.
It
would be kosher. Oh, no. That's the same. Okay. So Toshma, we're going to bring another raya. Right? The Bryce that said, the Mechubal Akarka, something's Mechubal Akarka, it's the Bryce report, Amin Aleph, the Mechubal Akarka, Shchitasva Kshera, the Shchitas Kshera. And we said that Bryce is talking about a case of Talos from Sofibro. And it says that it's Shchitas Kshera. So therefore, Dino Katalos. The Gemara says, no, Dilma Perushka Mefarish. No. The Bryce is all one big unit, not broken into pieces. We're going to explain the Resha, right? The Bryce said, Mechubal Akarka is Kshera. So my Mechubal Akarka, what does it mean that Mechubal Akarka is kosher? That's a socket, that's a knife, that's the lo mevatele, because you're not mevatele to the wall, so therefore it's considered talosh. That's what that case. But Mechuba Lakarka, we say it's Shikha Shera, talking about a knife dug into the wall, but it's not Mevatel. I think that a knife is not, I have to figure out why is a knife not Mevatel to the wall. And that would make, maybe answer your,
you
want to keep it, it's dangerous, the guillotine also maybe, I don't know. I don't know how they do sweepers. They do. They have these things where they. Where they're, I don't know what they have. Master, they have these type of things. Right. I thought that the animal was just the animal stuff is tile, but the sweepers done by hand.
At the last part, the
Polish himself kibbutz always
talking about a knife or
something. Polish himself
kibbutz
any type of item.
Knife.
No, that knife, that's not, the knife is not a case of Tal Shum Sof Divro, because we're not viewing it as being Mechuvar, because it was never Mevatel, never Batel to the wall. So it's, since you can take the knife out, it's viewed as if the knife is not in the wall, and therefore it's viewed as not being attached. But the question is, other cases, the Tal Shum Sof Divro, maybe you have this a rock or something else that you jabbed in, that would be, that's we don't know the answer. We don't know the answer. Amar Mar, hey, bring down the price that we said on yesterday's talk. Not sucking makosel. You dug the knife into the wall. Veshachat bo and you shechted. Shritasuk shera. So Amram and Amram Shmuel lo shana. We only said this. Elosh hasakin lamala vehasav vehatzavar behema vehatzavar behema lamata. Only if the knife is higher and you bring the neck of the animal up to the knife. Okay, you bring the animal up to the knife. But if you push the head of the animal down onto the knife, that is no good. Why? Chashin and Shema Yidros. The word that maybe put too much pressure. Because when you put the knife down, word that you're pushing the animal onto the knife, it's not going to be a slice, it's going to be just the force of the pressure. But Hakitani, but don't we have a brayson that says, the brayson said yesterday, Ben Shasak Lamata, Vatarvahim Lamala, Ben Shasak Lamala, Vatarvahim Lamata. It doesn't make a difference which one was higher, which one was lower. It didn't matter. So now you're saying it makes a difference? We said it doesn't make a difference. So Amar Rav Zvid, let's start at the point. You have to break the Brisa up. Your Brisa is talking about two different cases. Sakin l'mata v'tzavar behema l'mala. If the knife is higher and the behema is lower, that's betolish. Sakin l'mata, right? The knife is below and the animal is above behema l'mala. That's betolish. If the knife is, because then you're holding the knife. So if you're holding the knife, it doesn't matter whether the knife is higher or lower than an animal's head. But Sakin Lamala Vatsarvahim Lamata, if the knife is higher, that's only kosher. The Sakin Lamala Vatsarvahim is kosher by a Mechuvar. But if it's the other way around, no. No, we're saying like this. No, look at Rashi. We're saying like this. Sakin lamata, the knife is below. Vesavim lamala, that's a talish. The other okas besakin lamata veshoking. By behemoth tuli ba'avir, vezem molukum maybe a sakin. So how the katani sakin lamala vesavim lamata? That's a mechubar. Chomer af a mechubar. In other words, by mechubar, it's only good if the knife is above. But if by talish, even the knife is below, because I'm using it, I don't have to worry about the pressure. Republic is a different answer. It says that the Bryce is not making a difference. It's betolish and mechuvar. And why the Bryce says that you can chef when the knife is higher than the behema, it's for open the kolal. So with a bird, when the bird is very easy to chef, you don't have to worry about pressure. If you take the neck of the bird and bring it to the knife, they go right through. Okay. Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yitzha. So Rav Yitzha says, Amar Rav Mesisim Tan, some say this was just taught in the Bryce. Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Bekrumi Shal Kanya. There are five statements made regarding using the sharp reed, right? Number one, ein shoftin bo. We don't chef them. There's a worry that maybe the reed is jagged, maybe it's serrated at some point, and therefore
yes.
We'll get it. The ein shoftin bo, right? You can't use that. The ein malin bo. You don't use it for bismillah for obvious reasons, because it can cause push the chip up if it's jagged. The aim is chakim of basar. You don't chop off meat with it. The aim is chakim of shinai. Don't use it as a toothpick. The aim is kantebo. You can't use it as, you know, to wipe yourself. You can't use it as toilet paper. So the Gemara says, ein shoftin ba, makanya, lechol shoftin, ben bitzor, ben bitzkuchis, ben bekrumah shokana. Says that you can use the krumah shokana. The Gemara says, different types of krumah shokana. Amar Papa, the brisa that permits you to use the kana is bisimona da agwa. It's some certain type of reed that grows in the lakes. That when it's dry, it's very sharp, and it can cut and doesn't have any ridges. But a regular kana, on the other kana, you can't use. It depends on the reed. then it said the ain't achim b'basar. You can't use this kind of chopped the meat. Why? I guess the reason is because you're worried about that it's going to leave splinters, and then you eat the splinters. I think that's the case, right? Right. Rashi says, "Hey, dvarim kulu mishum kishadokakin osa kismin itozin and with farshim memas." Splinters come off. V'ikas akanta, right? The milosh was not again. Umash kashufa gam shchit the dimu minachal simanim mekin gam kinuach dimu minachal karkusha. Yeah, he's worried about the splinters. So he says, but since I won't use it for meat, for a papa machatikot kibri that dogim, he will use it to gut a fish, right? The zige, because the fish, I guess the meat of the fish is more translucent, so you're able to see, you would see the splinters and you remove them. Rabba baravuna michatek baofa dirache, because he would chop up birds with it, because they're very, very soft, and I guess you wouldn't have to push the kana, so the splinters wouldn't come off. So there's no danger involved. The aim mechanikin ba, and you can't use it to wipe. Why you have to worry about this, that you worry about splinters, you should worry about something else. There's another memo that says that if you wipe yourself with something that is flammable, your teeth will fall out. I don't know if it necessarily means your teeth. I think it means actually that you'll have problems in your rectal area. So the Gemara says, we're talking about over here that you can't wipe, not talking about wiping after you go to the bathroom, we're talking about wiping a wound. Wiping a wound, you shouldn't use this kind of, because the splinters are going to come off. For basic PCA issues, that or Schultenberg, that's a problem. I don't know what or Schultenberg, what's the reason there? It sounds like some sort of a sorcery type thing. Or Schultenberg, what? Then it's in the light? I don't know. Then the Mishnah, next Mishnah. Sorry, the Mishnah, next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Hakol Shoftim or Olo Shoftim. So basically, the problem is that what's this Mishnah saying? We already said Hakol Shoftim, we gave the whole list. And then we already mentioned, you mentioned the chef at night or a day, you get a chef on Shabbos or Kippur. So what's this Mishnah coming to add? So I thought maybe that, you know, from a Meskew's point of view, maybe this was the original, the first Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, Akol Shoftin, Ulul Shoftin, and then it gave the list of everything else. But that's not the Gemara's approach. The Gemara's approach is to say, what is these Akol Shoftin and Ulul Shoftin coming to add? So Akol Shoftin, what does that mean? Hakol v'shchita l'afilu b'ol. Every animal that you want to eat, other than the fish, requires shchita, even a bird. The bird only has to cut one semen, but still, it requires shchita. The shchita of a bird is not before the Torah. And after those who hold the shchita of a bird is only the Rabbanah. Then the Olam Shchotin, what does the Olam Shchotin mean? It also means forever. Not at any time, but it means forever and ever. Man Tana, who's the Tana of our Mishnah who said that the Mishnah has to teach us that it's always to be mutter for Yisrael to shech and eat? So Amar Rabba, Rabbi Shmuel, the shchita of Rabbi Shmuel, the Tanya of the following Brisa. The Pasuk says, this is a Pasuk that gives the heter, gives the permit for people to eat meat. Right, which says, "Ki yarchiv Hashem lakechas bulecha kasher diberlach." When Hashem is going to increase your the land, v'amarta ochel baser, and they want to eat baser, ki tabe nashchal echel baser mikol avas nashchal tochel baser. You're going to be so far away from the base of Midbar. One person will be living up north, one living down south. You in the Midbar, you want to eat meat? Just go bring a shlamim and bring a shlamim to the base of Midbar. Bring a carbon and eat it. But then, when you get to Eretz Yisrael, you're going to be too far away. I'm going to expand your borders. Then you can eat wherever you want. So Rabbi Shmuel Omer Lobar Kasav El Hatil Hem Basar Taiva. But Chulin is called Basar Taiva. So this Basar is coming to give you a permit that you're allowed to eat your Chulin. Shebetchilo originally Neser Lehem Basar Taiva because they could eat it by the Mishkan. Mishenichlasu Eretz La'aretz when they came to Eretz Yisrael, and now with this Mishkan, the Mishkan is at a distance. So Hutar Lehem Basar Taiva when they came to Eretz Yisrael comes Mutar. So the Asher Shegalu, and now that we went into Galus, we don't have the big tenants of the Mishkan, maybe we lost the permission to eat meat, right? The Akshar Shegalu Yakul Yaksu Lishun Harishon. The Kachanino, therefore the Mishnah says, the Olam Shokatin forever. Once you go to Eretz Yisrael, the permit for meat, Baruch Hashem, exists forever. You can go have your barbecues. So Masal of Rabbi Yosef, that can't be, he's not going to argue with Allah, that can't be what the Mishnah's teaching us. Masal of Rabbi Yosef, hi, the Olam Shokatin, the Olam Shokatin, the Olam Shokatin, the Mishnah says, the Olam Shokatin. What you're talking about is the Olam Shokatin and eating. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Ode. The Gemara says originally, let's look at the logic. V'od meikar my time itzar. Why was it originally in the Midbar usher to have meat basar taiva? Because we should like have them recover the Mishkan. They're very close to the Mishkan. All of us so at the end, why was basar taiva permitted? My time isru to havu merchakim the Mishkan because they were far away from the Mishkan. The kosher came hashda the achadu l'tvei. So now even further from the Mishkan. Not only further from the Mishkan from a distance perspective, even the people who live in the old city are further from the Mishkan because they don't have the Mizbeach. So the permit should definitely stand. So what's the Mishnah saying? The Olam Shokatim. What does that mean? Rabbi Shmuel says the Olam Shofta means that you have the permit to do shtita and eat meat forever. So he said that can't be what the Mishnah means. Number one, that's not what the Mishnah says, because they don't just show to the Ochlin. Number two, the logic is faulty. It's obvious that you're allowed to eat the meat. Because the whole reason why you weren't allowed to eat the meat was because you were close to the Mishkan. Once you were distant, you're allowed to eat the meat. We're still distant. We should be allowed to eat the meat. Let's, you know, might not we'll stop here. We'll pick up, we'll get the answer for what it means. We'll pick it up here tomorrow.